Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, Jim. But we start with the news that probably most of our listeners are aware of now. Last night, Fox News announcing who made the top 10 and who will be in the primetime debate on Thursday. And, of course, that means there will be seven who will be in the not primetime debate on Thursday. That'll be at 5 p.m. Eastern. And as you point out in the Jolt today, that's 2 p.m. Pacific. So we'll see what kind of numbers that debate gets for Fox News. We always knew kind of who the top of the crop would be. But the last two spots in the big debate go to Chris Christie and John Kasich. And that leaves Rick Perry as the top seed in the little debate, Jim. But I think it all goes back to if we can just get one of these guys to drop out here, we can get a perfect Sweet 16 bracket, and now they're actually seeded. We can actually do this thing.
Yeah, you could think of Rick Perry as the top seed in the NIT. you know, actually, the more I think about it, and again, maybe this is me talking into a conclusion I'd like to believe, or that, you know, since a bunch of the folks who I think are very highly are going to be at that pre-debate, the kiddie table debate. One, there's fewer people. There's seven instead of 10. And 10 people seem like a very full stage as it is. I assume this thing is going to go for about 2 hours. Sometimes they try to have debates go 90 minutes. You know, you think about it, 120 minutes, 10 candidates, that's 12 minutes maximum. And that doesn't count for any introduction by the moderator, time allotted for questions. Maybe there's a commercial break in there somewhere. You're not going to get a ton of time. So if they go with the same amount of time or roughly equivalent of seven people on the stage, it might actually go better. And then secondly, look, we all know Donald Trump is going to be the spotlight of the first one. We all know that Trump has a certain bombastic quality to him. I think we can all agree he's the one most likely to call one of his other, you know, people on stage a moron or an idiot. It's just easy to imagine the primetime debate turning into Trump versus everyone or everyone versus Trump or Trump and Chris Christie shouting at each other or something like that. In other words, the pregame debate, so to speak, might actually be a better debate and might be better for letting some of these candidates shine. We'll have to see how it shakes out. But so that's what I'm thinking right now. Try not to talk me out of it, Greg.
Okay. Jim's got his DVR ready, and we'll go to the good martini now. And once again, it's Hillary Clinton. So the bad week for Mrs. Clinton from her perspective continues. This is from the Washington Post. The FBI has begun looking into the security of Hillary Rodham Clinton's private email setup, contacting in the past week a Denver-based technology firm that helped manage the unusual system, according to two government officials. Also last week, the FBI contacted Clinton's lawyer, David Kendall, with questions about the security of a thumb drive in his possession that contains copies of work emails Clinton sent during her time as Secretary of State. The FBI's interest in Clinton's email system comes after the intelligence community's inspector general referred the issue to the Justice Department in July. Intelligence officials expressed concern that some sensitive information was not in the government's possession and could be compromised. The referral did not accuse Clinton of any wrongdoing, but obviously the investigation continues, Jim. So it looks like this referral is actually being taken seriously by someone. Let's hope so.
Yeah, I mean, there's a part of me that wants to say, you know, nobody in the who answers to President Obama, and no matter how, you know, eventually you go high up enough the chain, everybody in the executive branch answers to President Obama, is going to cause Hillary that much of a headache. No one's going to come out and say Hillary mishandled classified information, did not follow proper procedure, and thus violated laws for handling classified information. On the other hand, Greg, we can now say Hillary Clinton is under FBI investigation. Right? Nobody in the Democratic the Republican field has that set of circumstance. That's something Bernie Sanders can say. That's something Joe Biden can say, right? I mean, this is an interesting, you know, weakness it brings up here. And it says, you know, that the FBI involvement suggests this is not, you know, she's going to say, this is the same old partisan games. Well, no, the FBI is not a partisan organization. I do realize that New Jersey Democrats refer to them as the opposition party. But, you know, that generally this suggests that there's something of substance here. And, you know, those of us who've looked at this pretty obviously know, okay, yeah, she's handling using a private email system to handle lots and lots of classified information. That's a giant security risk. And folks like the guy who headed up the DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, said, yeah, it's probably in all likelihood the foreign intelligence had hacked that system. Look, this suggests it's going to be a serious issue for her, and it comes at a time when the polling in New Hampshire indicates she's only 6 points ahead of Bernie Sanders.
Exactly right. That's the new WMUR poll that just came out, and basically within the margin of error, it's a 5.9 margin of error. Mrs. Clinton's still far ahead of him in most other polls, whether it be state or national. But Bernie Sanders is definitely making nice with the neighbors up there in New England. So we'll see if he can continue those numbers. On to the bad martini now, Jim. And let's take a look at the very difficult situation Republicans and sensible Democratic allies find themselves in, thanks to the Corker-Cardin deal. Of course, opponents of the Iran deal need a two-thirds majority in both the House and Senate. It was a very uphill climb from the get-go. But there were some Democrats who have expressed very serious concerns about this. Brad Sherman of California, the congressman, probably being the most public about that. But in the last few days, we've seen more and more Democrats decide to support this deal. Some of them, like Barbara Boxer, you knew would ultimately end up there. But others who at least portray themselves as sensible, rational people, like Congressman Adam Schiff in California and Virginia Senator Tim Kaine, are now on board, meaning that unless something drastic happens here in the next few weeks, it's more than likely that this just isn't going to get enough votes.
Yeah, I mean, put me in the category of folks who just am not all that emotionally invested in this idea that Chuck Schumer is struggling with it and that if he votes no, then 10 other Senate Democrats are going to vote no, and all of a sudden this thing is in danger. I mean, if it comes to pass, terrific. But I believe that ultimately most Democrats, you know, are going to lean Democrat. They're going to lean left. They're basically kind of pacifist at heart. They, you know, as Gene Kirkpatrick said, they blame America first. They want to believe that we can reach a peace with Iran and that Iran has changed its character and all that stuff. And so I just don't believe that too many of them are going to cross the president on this. There'll be a few here and there, but not enough to sink the deal. And so seeing some guys jump on board like Schiff, you know, it's disappointing, but if you really thought Democrats were going to vote against Obama on this, I think you're a little too credulous.
Unfortunately, that's the case. All right, on to the crazy martini now. And once again, we're talking about illegal immigration in the crazy martini, in a way. Yesterday on The View, and this might be the first time The View has ever been referenced on this podcast, and don't expect it to happen a lot, but Kelly Osbourne, the daughter of Ozzy Osbourne, was for some reason the guest yesterday. And of course, if you're going to have the daughter of Ozzy Osbourne on, why wouldn't you talk about Donald Trump and illegal immigration? Because, of course, that's her expertise. And Jim, here's what she had to say about why she thinks Trump's plan of deporting as many people as possible, but giving them fairly quick opportunity to get back into the country is an evil idea.
If you kick every Latino out of this country, then who is going to be cleaning your toilet, Donald Trump?
Oh, that's not.
In the sense that, no. You know what I mean? Like, what I'm saying,
there's
that
there's more jobs to be
in LA, they always.
But
they don't.
Latinos are not only the
no,
only people.
No, I didn't mean it like that. Come on. No, I would never mean it like that.
So Rosie Perez is challenging her there. Right after the show, Rosie, of course, has to make nice with Osbourne and saying, my apologies, Kelly Osbourne. I took your point wrong. Hashtag Trump Latinos. My bad. Your heart is so pure and righteous. I adore you. Of course, she would have given a conservative that response as well. And Osbourne later, writing about the flub, according to TMZ, says, I should have known better as I was on The View and it was live. I've learned a very valuable lesson. And she goes on to say that she hopes it opens up a national conversation, that she cleans her own toilets and so forth, Jim. So interesting reactions from both, but it's kind of fun to watch the left eat their own on something like this.
It is. I kept waiting for Kelly Osbourne to say, I just can't believe someone who has a reality show is running for television. I mean, you know, people with reality shows are the most shameless, fame-yearning, empty-headed. Anyway, that's my Kelly Osbourne impression.
Good job. Worked on a long time. Good job.
A couple things jump out. First of all, Greg, do you have, you know, off the top of your head, remember what Trump's immigration policy is?
Build a wall, as far as I can remember. Make
no,
Mexico
no,
pay for it.
No, more than that, though. Like, yes, he wants deportation, but he also wants a way for everyone who's been in the country, ejected from the country for coming illegally, to be able to apply and they get very quickly processed to be, you know, legal guest workers.
Yes.
To come here and do the work. Now, if you're somebody who has concerns about illegal immigration from the economic perspective, i.e., you know, dramatically expanding the labor supply is driving down wages, then Donald Trump is not really that restrictionist guy that you're really yearning for, right? This is a guy who basically his main problem is that they didn't stand in line the proper way. It's not that he wants them out. Secondly, notice she jumps the thing from, you know, his statement, you know, Mexicans are sending us rapists, to the idea that he's going to, you know, deport all Latinos.
Right.
Right. I mean, notice, I mean, this is a certain amount of base stealing, that the idea that, you know, we insist that, you know, we're not anti-Latino, we're not anti-immigrant, we're anti-illegal immigrant because we believe in the rule of law. And her assumption is that by wanting to deport illegal immigrants, you want to deport all Latinos. I mean, first of all, who's the racist here, right? Who is basically presuming that if you're Latino, you're in this country illegally? And then the second thing is, the first thing that comes to mind is that illegal immigrants clean toilets. And it just, you know, I Rosie Perez had nothing to apologize for. That is an offensive statement. That is a rather crude stereotype that completely warranted a little bit of what the hell are you saying response there. And it's very interesting that Rosie Perez felt like she had to apologize for that. A good example of political correctness, the snake biting its tail. I think the most fascinating aspect of it all is the idea that Trump has now become perceived as this draconian deport them all and never let them back in persona, when in fact that's not actually his policy. And I think actually, you know, Kelly Osbourne, every celebrity lives a life where they are never actually interact with any illegal immigrants. But presumably if she did, I don't think she and Donald Trump would have that much of a disagreement, because his thing is, I just want you to go back, fill out a form, and then you can come in legally.
And of course, she should have read her Democratic talking points, because whether it's Debbie Wasserman Schultz or some other Democrats who have talked about this, gardener and landscaper is the insulting pejorative you're supposed to use, not toilet cleaner.
Yeah, Mayor Villagrosa in L.A. said a very similar comment about that. I am not a Latino American, and so I would not presume to speak for them. But if everyone always said, without immigrants from Ireland, where are we going to get our drunks? Something like that. I'd be a little bothered by that. If you're honestly associating people with one particular, or where are we going to get our brawling dock workers or something like that? It's a rather disrespectful shorthand. So I'm glad that, you know, Kelly Osbourne got called out on it. Once again, if you're getting your political philosophy from The View, stop. Start over. Find something else. Change your channel.
Yeah. Oh, glad you used the island example, because the Greeks these days have no stereotypes that you can possibly make fun of.
But Greg, don't you owe me like $20?
Let's restructure that. I'm sure you'll get your money back if you just lend me some more.
There you go. Some unfortunate news, Greg. The other day at the store, I came back. I brought some Greek yogurt, and it keeps asking for money from the other foods. The Greco-American community can direct all angry email to jiminturkey@gmail.com.
Jim, can't possibly end it better than that. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.